Paul says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. Now, the churches at Galatia were in sin. They had been entangled in bondage, some sinning by putting themselves under the law, others sinning by being puffed up towards those that had been beguiled into that when they hadn't. And so each were doubting, each were disputing the other, and a little leaven had puffed them up. But Paul calls them his brethren. You notice that throughout the epistles, no matter what was going on in the church, no matter how bad it was, he refers to them as brethren. He had spent the first part of the letter pointing them to Christ, declaring that all of God's elect were crucified in Christ. And therefore, through the law, we're dead to the law, that we might live unto God. And the life we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And so he besought them to stand fast in this liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with this yoke of bondage. And he encouraged them to wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And he encouraged them to walk by faith, which works by love. And so now, in this passage, he tells them, he encourages them by telling them he had confidence in them. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. That your mind will be set on Christ, single for Christ. Now that is faith working by love. He wanted to encourage them. He wanted to help them. He wanted to restore them. You know, that's how we brought to faith in Christ in the beginning. And so, believing on Christ and having all confidence in Christ, when brethren are sick and when they're falling into bondage and when they're in sin, we want to encourage one another that we trust their brethren, that the Lord's working. Our confidence is in what Christ, our head, shall do for our brethren. Now, first of all, I want you to see this confidence is from personally knowing the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in calling us who were ungodly sinners. That's how come Paul had this confidence. He said there in verse 7, ye did run well. Now the Lord sent Paul preaching the gospel of Christ to the Galatians, and the Spirit gave them faith in Christ. And they began running the race, looking to Christ. They were Gentiles. They'd never been under the law, but there was plenty of idolatry they had and plenty of sin they had, and they laid aside the weight and they began running the race looking only to Christ. That's running well. That's believing Christ, obeying the truth, looking to Christ the truth, trusting him alone and walking by faith in him. And he knew they'd been hindered. That word hindered means turn back. That's what it means, turn back. It's like the road's been broken up and you've been turned back. To turn from Christ to confidence in our flesh, in what we have done or what we haven't done. You had both these conflicts going on at Galatia. Some trusting what they were doing under the law. Some trusting that they had it come under that. That's like some trusting in some good they've done and how they've abstained from bad. And, you know, trusting in anything good we've done or something we hadn't done. That's sin. And people think that when you turn folks to themselves and to the law, that that's going to result in progressive sanctification. This word hinder means turn back. It's regressive is what it is. It turns you away from Christ to you and your works and your flesh and what you have done or haven't done. It's to go backwards. And Paul said here, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little makes the whole lump puff up. Now, the sin here was the Judaizers' doctrine, preaching the leaven of the Pharisees that Christ warned us to beware of. And what they were doing was they were making something necessary for the sinner to do to be accepted of God, to be a child of God. And now, they had much truth in what they preached, I'm sure. They didn't deny that salvation is by grace and that salvation is through faith in Christ and that Christ is the righteousness of his people. But they said, but except you add your works of law and your obedience to it, you can't be a child of God. And a little leaven, you know, you put a little leaven in dough and it just puffs up the whole lump. And a little leaven puffs up the whole. They even accused Paul of preaching circumcision, because he had circumcised Timothy. But he said, if I preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? Then the offense of the cross is ceased. If I gave the sinner something to do, the offense is gone. I wouldn't be persecuted. But this leaven that entered in, and when sin is leaven, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And all sin is leaven. And if the Lord hasn't given a broken heart and humbled his child, it will puff up. And like these that had come under the law and thinking what they were doing was good, it wasn't good. Spiritually, they were breaking the whole law of God. Spiritually, they were committing adultery against Christ, trying to come to God by their works. They were committing spiritual murder. They could spiritual covetousness. It was all breaking of the law. It was sin. And then those that had not fallen into that, they were puffed up about it. So it just spread through. And so the whole lump was puffed up. And here's what they were doing. They were seeking vainglory. They were provoking one another. And they were envying one another. And so Paul knew this persuasion didn't come from Christ. It didn't come from Paul, who God used to call them, and it didn't come from Christ, and he knew that. The means used were unbelievers. They were legalists. They were intentionally, maliciously turning them from Christ to their works. That's what they were trying to do. And Paul knew who was behind the will worshiper. He said to the Corinthians, I fear, lest by any means, and he will use any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in the garden, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. That singleness of mind on Christ, knowing he is all our acceptance. He's our completion. We're righteous in him. But Paul believed they were brethren. Even though this was the case, he still believed they were brethren. He kept addressing them as brethren. And he does that in all the epistles. He believed they were bought with the precious blood of Christ. That Christ actually shed his blood for them. He believed they were his purchased possession, as all God's elect are. And so he saw them as those Christ laid down his life for. And so Paul laid down his life for them. He knew they were counted as sheep for the slaughter, but his confidence was this. And all these things were more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. His confidence was Christ. He knew that death nor life nor any other thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. And that was his confidence. And so Paul encouraged them. He strengthened that he was... You know how the Hebrew writer says, strengthen the feeble knees and the hands that hang down, make straight paths for your feet. That's what Paul was trying to do for the brethren, by preaching Christ to them and turning them back to Christ. And he had this confidence because Paul knew what a sinner he was. He knew what a sinner he was. He knew where he was when Christ called him. He'd been entangled in that yoke of bondage. He was dead in trespasses and sins, but he was full of pride and thought his righteousness was good deeds. He was persecuting the church. He held the coats of men while they killed Stephen, a believer. Look over at 1 Timothy 1. He said in verse 14, he said, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saving, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Paul knew it wasn't by his might that he came to the Lord. He knew it was by the Lord. And he knew that whole time that he was in sin, the Lord had been long-suffering to him. And the Lord showed a pattern in Paul, how the Lord deals with his people. And it made Paul deal with his brethren the same way. He wanted to see the Lord, by his power, bring them down to the dust, just like Paul was brought to the dust by Christ. He wanted to see them granted repentance by the Lord, like he had been granted repentance. He wanted to see them brought to look only to Christ, like the Lord had done him. And so he preached the gospel to them. Now, knowing they were in sin, as believers, he could enter into that too. Because he could say, by experience, in my flesh dwells no good thing. He had experienced himself how his own sinful flesh brought him into captivity. And how the Lord alone delivered him. He had experienced that power and that grace of the Lord being able to break the heart and turn you back to Christ and make you see your flesh hasn't contributed and it hasn't taken away. You're complete in Christ. And that's how he makes you to mortify the flesh. And so Paul declared this message to them and telling them he had the same confidence for them in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that the Lord would work in them and strengthen them. Here was his confidence. It was the same thing he told the Philippians in Philippians 1:6. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it's meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. This was faith in Christ and love. He had them in his heart, and he had confidence that they were his. They were the Lord's. It looked bad at Galatia. It looked real bad. But his confidence was in Christ. And because he knew Christ is present in his people, he's present in his church working, because he knew that, he did what he told the Philippians in Philippians 2:12. He said, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. These daily affairs you have with one another in the church, work these out with fear and trembling. Why? For it's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So Paul was dealing with them in fear and trembling. He wanted them to know. He didn't want to cast them down and destroy them. He wanted to edify them and get them back on the path running to Christ and looking to Christ. So he said, I have confidence in you, brethren. His confidence was that Christ was their master and they were Christ's servants. To their own master they stood or fell. And so he encouraged them. He's telling them by this, saying, I have confidence in you through Christ. He's saying, you shall be held up. God's able to make you stand. That was his confidence. He said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you'll be none otherwise minded. He talked about waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith. And he had that hope in him. And he was waiting for Christ to come then. In spirit, through the word. and turn them back to Christ, their righteousness, from their works and their sin and their being puffed up, to bring them down to see Christ as all, to have one mind, to love and esteem each other better than themselves, to have one mind for Christ and one mind for the brethren, one mind to lay aside this sin and run the race looking to Christ alone. And his confidence was Christ would make them stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by the adversaries. Now, he not only had this confidence, he made sure they knew it. He made sure they knew it. He strengthened them by encouraging them that he had confidence in them through the Lord. He let them know that he believed that they had consolation in Christ. By saying this, he's saying he believed they had the comfort of love, that they had the fellowship of the Spirit, that they had bowels and mercies. His confidence was Christ would make them like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, so that they would let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each would esteem other better than themselves. Looking not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, he trusted that Christ, when he said that you'll be none otherwise minded, he trusted Christ would give them the mind of Christ that he had. So as bad as things were there, and they were bad, he called them brethren. And his word to them was the same as in all the places he preached. He's saying to them, seeing we have all this cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, perseveringly, the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at God's right hand. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, he said, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this is what I do. Forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is what Paul wanted for them. He wanted for them. Now, as for those who were intentionally troubling them, as for those that were turning them from Christ, those that were self-willed and insistent on furthering this divide, and willfully attempting to separate them from Christ and from one another, Paul also trusted them to Christ. He said in verse 10, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. That judgment's from Christ. He said, verse 12, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. These were those who weren't broken in heart. They weren't. They had not mourned and repented and left off this sin. And faith which works by love doesn't seek to cut off brethren. You're not hoping your brethren get cut off. That wasn't what Paul was doing. These men proved that they weren't seeking unity with the brethren. They were seeking to divide them. They were wanting to expose sin and keep talking about it and talking about it and talking about it until they just divided and divided and divided. And Paul said, I would they were cut off. I would they were cut off. But he left them to our same sovereign master, and he said he will deal with them. You know, the Lord was stern toward the Pharisee. It was the only ones he was stern to, the obstinate, stiff neck, stiffen up their neck. They hadn't mourned. They hadn't been broken. Their heart wasn't broken. They wanted to see people cut off. That's the whole thing with the circumcision. They wanted to see, cut this out, cut that out, cut this out. And if you don't measure up to us, we'll cut you out. The Lord was very stern with those who had not mourned and sought mercy at his feet. That's the leaven Christ warned us to beware of. He said over in Isaiah 58, if you want to look there, Isaiah 58, 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? The Lord says, behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and you exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate. It wasn't a fast from the sinful flesh at all. It was feeding the flesh. That flesh that wants to be a proud Pharisee and judge one another. And he said, you smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I've chosen? Christ was tender. Christ denied himself for his brethren. Look at verse 6. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. That you break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him? And that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? You take a man who's wounded. The church is a place for the wounded. We're not trying to cut people out. We want to see sinners under the gospel. If you take a man who's wounded, he comes into an emergency room. Now, if he comes in there wounded in the emergency room and he starts wielding a gun and he's trying to shoot everybody, he's going to have to be cast out. But if he comes in there wounded, looking for the physician to heal him, then they're going to heal him. They're going to do what they can to heal him. And much more tenderly, the difference with the church is we have the wound. And if you had the wound yourself and knew how it hurts, you deal so much more tenderly to care for that wound. That's what the church is. It's a place for the... And that's how the Lord dealt with us. When we were his enemies, Christ said in Psalm 35:14, I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. That's the compassion he had on us when we were enemies in our minds by wicked works. He loosed the bands of wickedness and the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free by bearing our sin. He dealt his bread to the hungry, feeding us the gospel. Himself, the bread of life. He brought us the poor that were cast out to his house. He found us naked and covered us in his own righteousness. He didn't hide himself from his own flesh. And he continues to do it to us every day. This is how he deals with his brethren. You know, if we could see our sin, brethren, I mean, when we're doing the best things we ought to do, if we could see how far short we come of the glory of God and see how merciful the Lord's being with us all the time, constantly, and how tenderly and mercifully he's dealing with us. I believe Paul saw that in himself. I believe he saw how the Lord was dealing with him. And it made him deal with his brethren that way. Well, you say, well, these brethren weren't dealing with one another that way. They were being puffed up towards one another, and sure, there was things said to one another. Paul's point to them is, set aside, forget it, start running this race looking to Christ. That was his desire. And he said, and I have confidence in you through our Lord Jesus, that you'll be none otherwise minded. And because Christ continually works that in his people, Colossians 1:21, Paul said, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Just think about that, brethren. We were aliens. We considered God and our Lord Jesus our enemy. And our wicked works were works whereby we thought God was well pleased with us. You know the bad thing about all sin is besetting sin, but it's besetting sin. It pulls you out of the path. You run it. Here's why prideful self-righteousness is so much worse. It turns you around going completely backwards, because not only is it sin, we think it's righteousness. And the Lord, when we were in that shape, He came in the body of His flesh through death. He put all our sin away. And He shall present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if you continue in the faith, running this race looking only to Him, putting no confidence anywhere else. Paul's confidence wasn't in them, just in them. His confidence was in them through the Lord. If you run this race by faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard. So brethren, when brethren sin, the goal is to restore. The goal is to edify. Paul had power, but he said, I don't have this power to destroy, I have this power to edify. And this is the fast that the Lord's pleased with. What is it? What kind of fast is it? It's fasting from the lust of our sinful flesh. Just as much as we lust to sin some sin, we lust to lord over our brethren as if we're better. Both of them are lust of our flesh. And to fast from that, the only way we can fast from the lust of our flesh is putting all our care in Christ, speaking to our brethren of Christ, and trusting Christ to work in one another. That's a fast. That's starving yourself of everything you would do naturally in your flesh and everything this world would do. And that's God's way. And I pray, brethren, He give us grace. I want grace. I need grace to encourage you, and I pray for grace for you to encourage me. That our confidence, we let each other know that I don't doubt you and I don't dispute you. I have confidence you're the Lord's. And I have confidence you're the Lord's through Christ. I have confidence He'll keep you and keep you settled on Him, your mind single for Him. That's my confidence. All right, brethren, let's stand together. Father, we thank You. Our great God, our Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your way You've worked in Your people in the past and recorded it for us in the Scriptures, and way we were made to behold our salvation entirely in Christ. Lord, help Your people everywhere to so many things that in this world right now that are causing Your people to be puffed up and that would divide us. But let us encourage each other that we have confidence in one another through Christ. You're the only one, Lord, that can keep us single-minded. And we ask You to do that. We ask You to keep us looking to Him and set aside whatever is not of faith. Keep us humble. Keep us from being puffed up. Keep us hearing the truth of Your word in spirit and in truth, looking only to Him. Make us help meets, Lord. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.